Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Wayne Eddy Affair on your radio station. This is the one, 95.1 FM, and on September 27th, 50 years of broadcasting at 1080 AM. Another beautiful morning in downtown Northfield, Minnesota. Today is August the 14th, and the year is 2018. And I have a guest in studio that is kind of like my hero. We'll tell you all about that in just a moment. But first of all, I want to just tell you that things are going great for DePuyta Jesse James Day celebration. Another meeting tonight, meeting all through the month of August, and getting ready for the thousands and tens of thousands of people that visit our community. Crazy thing happened yesterday. I was leaving the station, and I had a convertible, and I was seated in it, and two people come walking out of the Archer House right next door, and as they were walking by, they commented on the car and then asked if this was the car that they used to give tours for Northfield. And, of course, they were joking, a husband and a wife from Maple Grove, and Don and Donna were their names. And I said, yeah, this is the one. And they said, really? I said, sure, hop in. And they said, you're kidding. I said, no, hop in, get in the back seat, both of you. And they did. And I took them, of course, around Northfield, took them over to Carlton, took them to St. Olaf, Mayflower Hill. I even drove out to Bridgewater Township, and they just absolutely enjoyed it very, very much. And they are certainly going to tell their friends and family that if you want to spend a day in Northfield, go ahead and do it, because the sights are fantastic. And thank you, folks, that do all that beautiful planting of flowers and plants on the boulevards. One on St. Olaf is absolutely amazing. Every time I go by it, I just say, wow, that is something else. Okay, that's my opening for today's show. And today's show is featuring somebody that you may or may not know. And that's always the case anyhow. And I have in studio a little bit of a hero today. And that's Chris Grupman. And Chris, welcome to KYMN.
Thanks for having me, Wayne. Appreciate it.
And I think you know Jeff Johnson.
I do know Jeff. Yep, we go way back. I'm a townie here, so I've been here since 1986.
Okay.
So yeah, Jeff and I have had our run-ins with me playing sports back in the day, and just being a Northfield person.
Okay. Now the name Grupman is familiar to me because you have a daughter that is serving as the junior ambassador for the DePuyta Jesse James Day's community in Northfield.
Yes. Yep. My daughter Maya, who's 8 now, she just finished her year as a junior ambassador for the DePuyta Jesse James Days. And what a fabulous program. She learned a lot, and we can't be more proud of her and proud of the program that that the committee puts together.
And I, of course, teased a little bit and said that you're kind of famous, and I'm sure people were thinking, oh, yeah, I think I knew his dad. And we come up with your daughter. But here's why this guy, Chris, is my hero, is that the kids, and we call them the littles and the bigs, okay?
Right.
And there are three ambassador big girls and two junior ambassadors, but this year they had 7 young ladies that were vying for the role of ambassador, and 15 girls that were vying for the role of junior ambassador. And when you get 15 8-year-olds, 7-year-olds on stage with 18 and 19-year-olds, that is pretty amazing by itself. But Julie Eddy decided that this year she wanted the fathers of the 5 reigning ambassadors to be part of the opening act, and put together a dance routine. And, of course, Julie has young ladies that were former ambassadors that were highliners and knew how to dance and give dance lessons. So I never got to see your rehearsals or anything, because you rehearsed on farms and backyards and parking lots and on stage. But I did get to see the opening act, and I got a close-up view of that. And I thought it was going to be a really difficult dance. And it was cute. I liked it. I could do the one, two, three, four, one.
Hey, Wayne, it was very difficult for our dads.
Okay. And here's the hero part is Mr. Groutman here, Chris, had emergency surgery the week of?
Yes. I had gallbladder removal surgery on Monday, actually. So right when I went in to see the doctor with my pain, they're telling me that, the gallbladder needs to be taken out. It needs to be taken out right now. And the first question I had was, okay, this was Sunday night. I said, okay, well, I have this performance on Friday with my daughter, and I can't miss that. So what's the chances that I'll be able to do that on Friday? And they assured me that I should be able to do that. And that was my only motivation. Coming out of surgery was, can I get myself ready for Friday?
And now when you say gallbladder, I'm thinking they remove gallstones?
Well, I had a gallstone, but they completely removed the gallbladder as well.
Oh, yep. You don't need a gallbladder?
Don't need a gallbladder, apparently.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, and you don't need tonsils. And, you know, there are a few things that you can, one kidney is all you need. But I'm going to tell them what I did that night. This is so embarrassing. So we have five fathers on stage before the program opens, and I heard that you had, or Mr. Groutman had surgery. And then I think you went in, got surgery, you went back, and they said, yeah, I think maybe you want to take it easy, but then you decided once in a lifetime with your daughter, I'm going to do it. So there's these fathers back there, and I thought I would be funny. And so I went up to this fella, and I picked his shirt. He had his shirt untucked, and I kind of started lifting it. And he looks at me, hey, you know, pushes me, not pushes, but he kind of slaps my hand. You know, what are you doing? And I said, oh, I'm sorry. So I did it to the next guy, and I think it was Julie Daly said, Wayne, you've got the wrong people. And then finally you came up there, and then I lifted your shirt to see your scar.
Yep, we had to compare scars, yep. So mine's much smaller than yours, Wayne, but I was happy that I was able to get up there with my daughter. She gave me a welcome home card right when I came home, and most of it on there says, please, I hope you can make it on Friday to dance with me. I would be so sad if you were unable to. So right when I read that, it was a done deal. I was going to go up there even if it hurt a little bit. But it went well. It was very, very fun to be on stage with her. Very proud of her and all the ambassadors, and couldn't ask for anything better.
Yeah, and one of the ambassadors, the big girl, says Tom Malika.
Well, yep.
And you know, he's a real quiet guy. And to see him with this cowboy hat on doing that dance and looking at his daughter's feet every step of the way.
Yep.
it was cute, and the audience loved it.
I think all the dads at first were like, really? Are we really going to do this? And when it came down to it, I think all five of us had a fun time doing it, participating with their daughters.
And Maron's dad, he's a big guy.
Yep. Yeah, Sean. Yep.
Yeah, Sean. And he's funny.
Yep.
And anyhow, I said, what do you got to do, about 90 seconds? He said, I think we got her down to 48 seconds. Okay. So anyhow, at that time, I invited you to join me on the air because I thought the name Groutman is a very well-known name in Northfield. And, of course, your father was the AD in Northfield for...
Yeah, 15, 17 years, something like that. Wow. Yeah, just retired.
Time really flies. What other things was he involved in? Was he involved in theater, too?
Well, he was the activities director, so he did everything with the high school. So it was not just sports. It was one-act plays. It was some theater stuff. It was...
Rock and roll revival.
Rock and roll revival, for sure, even though he had a very good team for that. He has his hands into that one as well, so... All those type of production stuff that the high school puts on, he oversaw all that stuff. And just like I was proud of my daughter, he was proud of all those student athletes and all those kids being at their best and competing or doing the rock and roll revival stuff and having a good time during their high school years.
So everybody knew Mr. Groutman. I'm trying to think. I think I was probably full-time involved in KYMN Radio when he first got on board. And it's kind of fun to go down memory lane of the various athletic directors that have been at Northfield. And the first one I remember is, let's see. Mr. Westerlund, that's way before
your time. Before
my time, yep. Yeah, and then I think we had Arnie Nelson.
That name.
Okay.
Yep.
And Kevin Merkel.
Kevin Merkel was the activities director when I was going through high school, and another great one.
And probably some I'm missing. And it's 12 minutes after 9 o'clock. My guest this morning on the Wayne Eddy Affair is a gentleman by the name of Chris Groutman. And he is a class of 1999. And when I see 1999, I always remember my wife was a general chairman of Defeated Jesse James Days in 1999, and then again in 2000. So it's like one millennial that she went from one to the other. So that's kind of always kind of cool. I do have what I call bumper music here that I want to play. And there's someone here that I know I can safely play, but in the event that I start playing a song that you know is going to be vulgar, and since the 90s, a lot of them are, I want you to say, stop that. But there are a couple on there I'm familiar with, so that'll be fun. I got to talk about a place. Ever heard of the Quarterback Club?
I've heard it a few times, yes.
Did you ever eat at the Quarterback Club?
I have. One of my favorite places, yep.
And what do you generally order when you go to the Quarterback Club?
Super Burger Special.
Okay. What are the kids like?
Usually either the corn dog or just a regular cheeseburger.
Okay. Yep. And of course, they're also known for their roasted chicken, and now their baby-back barbecued ribs with mountains of madness is oozing all over them in the form of a special sauce. Oh, they're so good. But I want to remind folks that they're open for breakfast, and they serve anything and everything that you could possibly want for breakfast. That's at the Quarterback Club, and the thing I like to say is locally owned and locally managed, the QB on Highway 3 and on 3rd Street. Once again, our guest this morning on the Wayne Eddy Affair, Chris Groutman. And Chris, what I do on these shows, I don't know if you're familiar with the show, but I start with where were you born, talk about your mom and dad, talk about your grandparents on both sides, and see how far back you can go, and we tickle your memory. You're a relatively young guy. You'll be out of high school 20 years next year. Are you on the committee to put together a 20th class reunion?
I'm not, but I won't miss those.
Did you go to your 10?
I did.
Do you do it every 5 or every 10?
So we did we missed a 5-year, so we did 10 and 15 so far. So okay. I think we're on the 5-year plan.
I liked. I thought the 10-year class reunion was the finest in regards to how people have changed.
Yes.
That you know, the nerd becomes a beauty, and the jock becomes fat, and the beauty becomes whatever. And it's a lot of fun and find out where they are. Some of them still in school, even 10 years later. But it's a lot of fun, and I imagine you are looking forward to that. Do you remember who the, let's see, is it the class secretary that has to get all of those messages out to classmates?
In our class, I think it's our class president who does that. Or I think we have a co-class president. I know one of my good friends, Colin Perkins, he's the class president. And so probably later this year, he'll start putting on stuff on Facebook and figuring out what we want to do for the 20th reunion. But so that's kind of how it gets started and get going. And it's always in town, obviously, maybe at the new place where the Rube used to be. That might be
the reunion.
New place. The reunion. There we go. Perfect fit.
One of the things that I don't know whether kids that run for class president don't realize they're making a lifetime
commitment.
It is
lifetime, yep.
And I wonder if the kids know that. I didn't know that when I was in high school. I didn't know the class president was going to be responsible.
Right. Well, I think it's a lot easier now these days with the technology and the social media. Yeah. So you put stuff on Facebook, and you know, people respond that way on who's going to be there, what to do, and kind of coordinate. And it's kind of a team effort that kind of puts it all together.
Like in my case, they had to lick over 400 envelopes and stamps.
Yep. Yep.
We are going to find out, were you born in the city of Northfield or were you born in some other community?
I was born in another community. My wife isn't, she gives me a hard time because she's the actual townie. She was born in Northfield. I moved here when I was 6, but I was born in actually Mankato, Minnesota.
Okay. Was your dad in education at Mankato?
He actually taught in St. Peter.
Okay.
So they weren't super comfortable with St. Peter Hospital back then. So that's why we lived in St. Peter, but I was actually born in Mankato.
Okay. And in St. Peter, did you live in the rural part, or did you live?
I lived in town. Yep. We had a single family house pretty close to the school. I was quite young. I think I moved when we were 5 or 6. So not a lot of memories there. But every time I go back to St. Peter, I try to find that old house.
So how long did you live in St. Peter?
Till I was 6. Yep.
Until you were 6.
Yep, through kindergarten.
And then did you come to Northfield from there?
Yes.
Okay. And were you there when that tornado went through?
Nope, I was in Northfield by that time.
Okay, but you're glad about that.
Yep, missed that one.
Okay, what is your wife's maiden name?
Her maiden name is McClish, but more known around Northfield as an Osman.
Okay.
So, yeah, there's a lot of Osmonds around town. So, she's a Northfield native, born and raised here. Same with her mom. Same with her mom's mom and her mom's mom's mom. So I think it's 5 or 6 generations of all Northfield people.
You're not talking about Multimille, are you?
Yeah, right.
Okay. I wonder if Ray Osman is part of that clique.
It is. That is her great uncle.
Yep. And if you were to look at him, you could never believe how old he is.
Correct. Yes.
He's amazing. I've known him all the time since I've been in Northfield, 50 years. And because he was involved in Waterford Township, and our station and tower were out in Waterford Township. So we are going to take a brief break, 18 minutes after 9 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN. My guest this morning is Chris Groutman, and we're going to chit-chat about growing up in Northfield and having a father in the school district and a wife that's a true townie.
My story is the same as those I'm fighting for. As the daughter of 2 public school teachers, I was raised to work hard, play fair, and do the right thing by parents who lived the advice they gave me. But I have a record of getting things done, and that's why I'm running for the United States Senate, fighting for a thriving economy, for jobs, for seniors, veterans, healthy families, and holding government accountable to you. You see, in Minnesota, we have pride in our communities. We love our neighbors, we stand up for what's right, and we aren't afraid to call out injustices. As a mother and grandmother, I refuse to leave a pile of IOUs for future generations to pay back and help find solutions and get something done. I know the best place for your hard-earned dollars is in your pocket. The government doesn't create jobs, you do. I'm Karen Housley, a mom, a small business owner, a tested government reformer. I'm running for U.S. Senate, and I'd appreciate your vote. I'm Karen Housley, and I approve this message.
Paid for and authorized by Housley for Senate Committee.
You're listening to the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN. This is the number 10 song in all of 1999. Name this tune.
It's Ricky Martin.
That is correct.
That girl's gonna make me fall.
You don't know the name of it?
Oh, I'll get it here, Wayne.
New sensations, new kicks in the candlelight. She's got a new addiction for every day and night. She'll make you take your clothes off and
I need the chorus. Living La Vida Loca. Sing it, Wayne.
All right, you done it. You done good, as they say. I remember Ricky Martin. He was a really nice-looking guy, I think, and the ladies really loved him. Have they got the right guy?
I can't comment on that, but I believe so, Wayne.
Well, you can say that. I ask my wife all the time, I say, you know, is that guy over there considered handsome to you? You know, because some guys have hair, and it's salt and pepper, and they got the perfect teeth, you know, and you go look in the mirror, and you say, oh, boy, I missed that little part of my life. So let's talk about your life, and you moved to Northfield as a 6-year-old from St. Peter, Minnesota, and every time you get in that neighborhood, you look at your old house and say, wow, I thought the yard was huge, and you're taken aback by the size. And did you ever tour the St. Peter former mental institution?
I've never been there.
Oh.
Nope. I can't comment on that one.
But. Okay. Something you should do before you, you know, put it on your bucket list. So you get to Northfield, and where's the first place you lived in Northfield?
So my parents, that house in St. Peter, I think the market at that time was not very good. This would have been 86. Interest rates were really high. They had a hard time selling that. And on a single income, my dad just got a brand new teaching job in Northfield. Them not being able to sell that house in St. Peter could not buy a house yet in Northfield. So we rented in Hidden Valley, which is still on the south side of town. We lived there, I believe, for 2 years. I think it took them over a year, maybe 2 years, to sell that place in St. Peter. So it was a hard time trying to, you know, unload that. They're obviously paying a mortgage that they weren't living at. I don't believe they rented. Maybe they did. So we rented a place in Hidden Valley for a couple of years, and then they sold that place, and we actually bought a house next to the high school, which was very, very good for a, I must have been 8 or 9 years old at that point, living right by the tennis courts there. A lot of activities that I could go watch and walk to and drive rider bikes to, and take a lot of tennis balls from the high school, hitting them over the fence, and collected tennis balls, and had a ton of those.
So you lived on the other side of the fence, and what's the name of that street?
Linden.
Is that where Mickey Scholl lived?
Yes, I was actually, I think it was next door neighbors with Mick Scholl.
Okay.
Yep.
And for those who don't know, Mick Scholl was is a revered Northfield police sergeant. And so I know exactly where you're talking about. And I'm wondering if you grew up with the Mitchell kids. They were just around the corner there. And they probably be, I keep forgetting how many years have gone
right
by. But and then you lived across the street from Mick was a guy named Bill, who used to be the meat market guy at Erickson's Food.
Okay.
And he was a great cribbage player. And he also was a Northfield bookie at the time.
Sure.
I mean, if you wanted to, you know, get
before the internet. Yep.
Yeah, right.
I know Ken Persons lived over there
and
Bernie Quinn. Yep. So
Coach Persons.
Coach Persons.
I bowl with him.
Okay.
And he's a baseball nut.
He goes to every activity. It seems like there's multiple Ken Persons in town, so he's everywhere.
You know, I've had him on my show several times, and I have to say that I think there are a whole lot of students after they got out of high school, and maybe 4, 5, 6 years after, they said, you know what? I really liked that Ken person. He was really a nice person, you know, because he's not, as a coach, he's not built like a brick, you know.
Right.
So anyhow.
Yep. Nope, Kenny and I, yeah, we go way back. Yeah, he was one of my baseball coaches back then. So, yeah, great guy, very knowledgeable. And he's, like I said, he goes to lots of events and supports Raider athletes still.
Chris Kruppman is my guest this morning. What's your mom's first name?
Denise,
okay. And do you have siblings?
I do. I have one sister, Stephanie.
And she older? Or?
She is 4 years younger, and she currently lives in St. Paul.
Whereabouts in St. Paul?
Well,
you can just
south
tell
side.
Me. How do you get there?
My dad and I debate on this one, but I go up 35E, then I believe I take Highway 5. Mm-hmm. Past the airport, and then it's, I don't know, it's like on, geez, I don't even know the streets. Hampshire is where she lives. There's a school right there, too. I don't know what school it is.
Do you go right up West 7th Street?
It's on 7th Street, and you go up the hill.
Up the windy hill?
Yep.
Snelling Avenue?
There's another one, too. Yeah, I think
it's
Snelling.
Yeah, I know exactly. Yep. It's right at the top of the hill.
Top of the hill, yep. Yeah. And there's a school right there. I can't know what school that is, but
I don't know either.
But, yeah, right there. So she bought a house there with her another Northfield native, Jake Graff. And they live there with their two kids.
And of course you can see the Highland Tower from there, that big brick, three-story tower. It's just down the road a bit.
Sure.
The golf course is right there.
Yep, golf course, yep.
So I helped you out, okay, trying to figure out where you were.
Yep.
Okay, that would be the Highland High School area.
Yes.
And when I went to High School, at Central High School. Highland was not there.
Okay.
It was non-existent. The town wasn't big enough. And so now, of course, the Highland Park area is big enough.
So you know the area much better than I do, Wayne.
Well, I grew up there. And,
right.
And, you know, you're proud of Northfield, and I'm proud of Northfield, but you also will say some glowing nice things about St. Peter, although you were just a little kid. All right, so that's the way you grew up. She's 4 years younger than you. So, unfortunately, you're never in the same schools, are you? I mean, it's like...
Yeah, and back in those days, we didn't have neighborhood schools. So it was first, second, and third grade at Greenville. It was fourth and fifth grade at Sibley. And then it was obviously the middle schools, you know, the old middle school, and then the high school. So we're currently, if we would go to school together, we would have had some overlap because we'd be at the same school because it's K through 5. But yeah, we miss each other. So when I was a graduating senior, she was in eighth grade at that point. So never had her in the same school at the same time. But yeah, it's great having them close, still in Minnesota, and being able to see their kids as well.
How many does she have? Two.
She has two. She has a boy who's 4 and a girl who's about 1.5.
So good cousins.
Yep. And we have a lake place up in Lindstrom, Minnesota, which is about 1.5 hours from Northfield. It's about 15 minutes east of Forest Lake, and that's where we kind of join together and have our cousin memories.
When you say we have a cabin, does that come through the grandparents or?
Actually, my parents just started that. I don't know, about okay. 4 or 5 years ago. So we were on them for a few years, trying to say, hey, you know, you have grandkids now. Let's try to make some memories. You know, let's find something that's not too far away so we can drive there and drive back, and it's not a big ordeal. So we found a nice little place in Lindstrom. Swedish capital of the world, I believe.
Okay.
It's a great spot up there.
Are you on the water?
We are right on the water.
Wow.
South Center Lake. Yep.
Those are far and few between.
Yeah.
Is it a large lake or a fishing lake or a skiing lake or a beach lake or all of the above?
We use it for all of the above. It is actually a pretty large lake, and it joins to another lake. So Highway 8 goes out of the state and goes through Taylor's Falls. So that's the main highway that goes through Lindstrom, and there's a bridge that we can cross underneath the bridge to go from one side of the lake to the other side of the lake. So there's a lot of acres on this lake, and it gets pretty deep. It's about 130 feet deep in the deepest part of the lake.
Wow.
But we do have a nice sandy beach that we enjoy, especially with our young kids, to kind of screw around on the lake a little bit and on the beach and build different castles and stuff like that. But it's a great memory piece is our big factor. Let's go up there and have a good time together with the cousins and my kids and my sister's kids and just kind of relax and enjoy when we can do that.
Now, does Tom and Denise live there year-round?
They don't. They still have a place here in town. So where I lived when I was 12, that's still the place that they still live, and they are trying to sell that place, actually. And so our childhood house will probably go away soon.
Mm-hmm.
But then they'll live up at that lake place more often than not.
So that's a year-round.
It is a year-round house, yep.
It's 9:30 on 1080 Radio. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with our guests here on the Wayne Eddy Affair. Chris Groatman is my guest on Kim, A Friend You Can Count On.
Hi, I'm Angie Taylor, Director of Life Enrichment at Three Links Care Center in Northfield. We offer daily activities at each of our facilities, including independent senior living, assisted living, care center, and memory care. The activities range from exercise classes to sing-alongs, games to gardening, from bus rides in the countryside to painting fine art. Activities are personalized for the individual. Please call Three Links at 664-8800 or find out more at threelinks.org.
Hey there, it's me, your stomach, down here, you know, the one who can talk. Anyway, I was just at a yoga sesh with a few of the other stomachs, and mid tree pose, everyone started talking about Subway's new savory rotisserie-style chicken Caesar signature wrap. It's a mouthful to say, I know, but with creamy Caesar dressing and double the rotisserie-style chicken, it's not the only thing that's full, if you know what I mean. It's me, I'm the one that's full, because I'm a stomach. That's kind of what I do. Subway, make it what you want. Double meat based on average 6-inch sub.
Number 9 in 1999.
I'm not going to get this one, Wayne. This is
kinda
not...
Good.
My wife is probably laughing right now because I have no chance at this one.
How about if I gave you the first name of the performer?
Go for it.
Deborah.
Can't even tell you if I've heard this song before, Wayne.
I haven't. I can tell you that. This is Deborah Cox and Nobody's Supposed to Be Here. All right.
One for two.
That. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, I want you to know that we are speaking to a gentleman by the name of Groutman, first name Chris, and if that sounds familiar, that's because maybe some of us that are a little bit older remember him, remember his father, Tom Groutman, who was AD, our activities director. I guess it'd be the same thing, AD. I'm looking at some of the information on my computer here and trying to get that to go there. All right. So here we are, growing up on the southeast side behind Bierman's funeral home and the tennis courts and the high school. Quick walk home. Was there a fence that you guys could go through without having to go all the way around?
There was, yep.
Was it homemade?
I think it was. No, it wasn't homemade. I think probably the city or the school probably put it up. I think it was between the Scholl House and the Quinn House where you can walk right through that way. So pretty clear path. But that's not where I lived when I went to high school. So we did move to Truman Court probably when I was 12, which is in the presidential area on the south side of the high school area. So
I was chairman of the board of the Parks and Recreation. Of the park board. And I remember when we put in, the community, put in the Truman Courts and all the others there.
Okay.
And
yep.
Had to have a reserved space for a park where you could have outdoor activity. Did one of them end up on your backyard?
Yeah, there is actually a Truman Park, actually.
Yeah.
It's close to the... what is that street? Roosevelt, actually. So it's about a block away. But now there's all those paths behind, you know, all those walking paths that are behind. So it's great for families to walk back there. But yeah, we bought that house probably in 1992 from the Hoffmans, Larry and Peggy Hoffman.
Oh, sure.
So,
okay.
Yep, had a pool there. So enjoyed that growing up. And my parents still live there for now, at least, until they sell that place.
And I was driving through there the other day, and it's you can judge a neighborhood by its trees. And it just amazes me how big the trees are now, because it seems like yesterday the developing was going on in that part of town.
Right. Yep. And so when we moved there in 92, there were some really small pine trees. And I think the reason either my parents planted those or the Hoffmans planted those is for privacy, just with their pool in the backyard. And now those trees are enormous. They're very large. They probably need to be trimmed down a little bit. But yeah, it's crazy the growth that we've had since I've lived there.
Have you ever felt like you've been around a long time by tripping down memory lane and saying, "Holy cow!" Let me see if I can guess how old you are. Okay, let's see. You graduated in 1999, so you must have been born in 1988. Or
you got to check your math again.
Yeah, tell me.
Yeah, I was born in 1980.
80,
so,
there we go.
So yeah, 37 at the moment, and yeah, I mean you don't feel old, right? But yeah, you take a look and say, yeah, next year it'll be 20th reunion at your high school, and you know you only go to school for 12 years, and you graduate when you're 18, and now it's been 20 years since I've been out. So. But yeah, I mean, we love the community, love it here. My wife's a teacher in town too, you know, so we will forever be townies of Northfield.
When I came to Northfield when I was 27, and I don't know why, and I think I know who, but somebody said you turn the corner at age 37. And I thought, well, that's weird. Usually you would say 30, 35, 40.
Right.
But it said at 37, the lights go on.
Turn the corner for what?
realizing, hey, there's a lot of responsibility ahead and a lot of things to learn and a lot of get your house in order, a lot of getting rid of bad habits, and all of a sudden you start looking at that 40 is what I think the individual meant, and 40 is very old, as you know.
At least you thought that at one time. Yes, I agree, exactly.
So you grew up in that home, and when you mentioned Larry Hoffman, I remember Hoffman's Photography.
For sure.
It was owned by a guy named Hoffman, and then Larry bought it named Hoffman. Didn't have to change the sign.
Perfect.
And he did Julie and mine wedding, and he did portraits of my daughter. And you think about today compared to, you know, in the 70s, the need for photographer lessons, wouldn't you think?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think there's still some need for that. I know it's for the youth sports. They always have the photographers come out and do it.
Professionals.
The professionals come out. And so it's kind of nice where you don't have to, you know, try to do it yourself. And obviously, yeah, there's a cost to doing that, but they have it all packaged up and make it pretty simple and easy to order and do all those type of things. So I know Larry did a great job for many, many years. He did a lot of the stuff through the schools. You know, so he did a great job here, and I'm not sure how long it's been since he gave up that business, but that's who I remember when I grow up is like, oh, picture day, oh, Hoffmans are here, or when it's team pictures for sports, oh, here's Larry. So you remember those presents.
Did you ever find yourself on a plaque in the quarterback club?
You know what? I'm not sure if I was ever lucky enough to be sponsored by the quarterback. I do every time I'm in there, you know, take a trip down memory lane and look at all those pictures. I have some classmates that are obviously on there. I am a coach, or I have been a coach for the American Legion baseball team. So a lot of my players were on there when they were younger. So yeah, it's always fun to see, you know, all those young athletes and where they're at now, and trying to guess, you know, who is that person and what are they doing now.
Yeah, that, I think that's a nice personal touch to have those photos there. Tell me, when you were a young kid, did you play on those little league or those, you know, what is it? You started T-ball and
yep.
then move up to. Tell
yep.
me about those experiences.
Okay. Yeah, it's NYBA, the Northfield Youth Baseball Association, is kind of the program if we're talking baseball. And yeah, when I was growing up, we didn't have Seckler Park. Probably not till I was 13 or 14 years old. So we were traveling around all to these little inky-dinky parks around town. You know, the one that I remember in T-ball, which isn't even in existence anymore, is the one over by the skateboard park and the pool. There used to be a softball field over there.
And guess what? I used to have that house right on the end there.
See, so you know exactly.
Yep. And I could watch the kids in the dugout at
yep.
night smoking.
Yep. Yeah. Well.
And then, of course, watch a football game from upstairs
yes,
with binoculars
exactly.
and hear the announcer.
For sure.
So I lived in that big house there.
So that was the... you know, looking back at memory lane, that's the one park that I remember the most. And I don't know if it was because of the dugout or because it was close to the pool and the memorial field at that time. But that's where we played most of our stuff. And, you know, it's, you know, not the facility that we have here in town now. It's the facilities that we have now are fantastic, and the kids are lucky to have what we have.
Well, there's a very unique story behind Seckler Park, and the Secklers were so kind as to sell it to the city of Northfield, but one of the things that they caveat was, if I remember correctly, was that they wanted it to be a passive park as opposed to what it is today. And I remember guys like the late Tom Blaisdell
yep.
and Donnie Pavic and Jim Sawyer and Dave Shumway wanted to use some of that parkland for a baseball field, stadium, if you will.
Yep.
And I was, I think, chairman of the park board at the time, and we worked on that, and it was hard. And there's some legal process involved. But fortunately... the park, we prevailed in getting that to be what it is today. And isn't it wonderful? I mean, look who's paid for it.
Yeah.
Pretty much, you know, it was donation. They were donations. And it's a great park.
Yeah, the facility is great. You know, since my son, who's 10, we travel to all these other different baseball facilities, and there's a lot around the state that are pretty decent, but they're all more like a softball field. So when you come to a park like this in a smaller community that has an actual little league baseball fields with grass infield, with a fence, with scoreboards, with a dugout, you know, you don't get much better than that.
Bleachers.
With bleachers and a concession stand.
Yeah.
And it's more of like a family type of atmosphere, too. So even if it's not a big traveling type of environment, you know, you have just the in-house program that the NYBA is trying to put together. And it's more of like a family because everybody's right there, right? You're not all spread out all over the city because there's one park here, one park on the north side of town, one park over here. Everybody's all together. So it's a nice family atmosphere, too, where, you know, parents can be together, kids can kind of grow together, get to know different people and different friends. So it's a nice place. I think we're very lucky to have that facility that we do.
And then at the time that was being developed, there was a thought of having a landing on the Cannon River, a path down there, and maybe rental canoes, etc.
Okay.
And then they wanted to be more passive, and then built the nice kitchen and little park area and the playground equipment. And then I played softball back then, and slowly but surely, I think three softball fields, and all being used besides Babcock.
Yep.
And we used to use, believe it or not, we used to use Sibley and Greenvale to play adult softball.
Okay.
Imagine that. But now it's a beautiful park, and when people come to visit and they realize they have to drive between Walgreens and Quick Trip.
Quick Trip, yep.
And it looks like, hey, am I supposed to be here?
Yep.
And it is. It's a beautiful location. And that's where Defeated Jesse James Day Committee steer individuals that are coming here to be vendors, for example, for all 3-4 days of their stay here. And we have them go out there, and they can park their RVs, et cetera.
Okay,
so
all right, yeah.
Thank you to the Settlers for letting the city purchase that and make use of it.
Yes.
And here's a pretty good example of you having used that field and enjoyed growing up and playing big time.
Yeah, yeah. No, I've used my fair share of time out there. So not just me personally, but obviously now for my kids too. I have two boys, so they're out there almost every day during the summer. So it's a great experience. Love it out there.
We're going to take another break on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN 1080 AM and 95.1 FM, The One. And we are talking to a gentleman by the name of Chris Groutman. If you happen to just tune in for the very first time, it's a one-on-one conversation about anything and everything and nothing.
Hey, Southern men. The August issue of Scene is available now free at retailers and shops. Scene features local arts, entertainment, and lifestyle stories. In this issue, read about the local craft, brew, and spirits industry. The annual Best of Southern Minnesota Scene online contest is underway. Who's got the best boutique in Southern Men? The best home decor? The best vet? There are over 101 categories to nominate through July. So if you have a favorite business, entertainers, artists, or otherwise, let us know. SouthernMenScene.com. Don't be shy. SouthernMenScene.com.
Live the legend and throw axes with your friends at the all-new Battle Axe Pub. Visit Magic, the live unicorn, hug a kangaroo, pet an African porcupine, or hand-feed a grape to a ring-tailed lemur. Soar over the crowd at the Wizards Flight School Zipline. Have a blast at the new Bow Blast competition. The Minnesota Renaissance Festival. Family fun for one and all. Weekends and Labor Day through September 30th. Discount tickets at Super America, Cub, Menards, Dunn Brothers, and online at renaissancefest.com.
Does your team need new jerseys? Does your business need some swag? See Star Trophy and Apparel in Faribault for everything from clothes to pens, can coolers to keychains, anything you can put your logo on. How about a plaque to recognize the outstanding efforts or milestones of your employees? Championship trophies for any sports, even championship rings. And don't forget apparel that shows your school pride. You'll find solid service and great prices on all this and much more at Star Trophy and Apparel in Faribault. For more info, go to StarTrophiesAndApparel.com or give them a call at 507-332-9809.
Well, this is Sugar Ray.
Yeah.
I'm usually a little slower on the name of the song, so give me a minute here. Every morning?
Yep.
Every
morning there's a halo hanging from you're doing well.
Two for three?
Yeah. Well, you didn't do the Deborah Cox one.
Never heard of her. Yep.
And your
sorry,
wife,
Deborah.
And your wife was laughing at you.
Probably.
All right. Well, speaking about that, why don't we do this? And you have two boys, and that's the size of your family, your wife and you and two boys?
Well, yeah, and Maya, of course, for
Dang.
So she's stuck in the middle of the two boys. So I have a 10-year-old son.
And what is his name?
JT.
JT?
Yep, Jordan. Jordan Thomas.
Okay.
Goes by JT.
Okay. And then after JT, Maya.
That's Maya, yep.
And how old is Maya?
She's 8 now.
Okay, Maya. And I spell it Alfred.
Hey, it's all right.
Yeah. And then after Maya.
And then I have a 5-year-old Charlie, who's our little entertainer and comedian.
Why is that?
Oh, he loves to dance. Have you ever heard of the video game Fortnite, Wayne?
I have not.
Okay. So it's a big to-do out there in the, you know, I don't know, 8-year-old to probably high school age kids. So it's an online video game on the Xbox, and Charlie doesn't play yet. His hand-eye coordination isn't there yet, nor do we really want him to play, but he likes to watch his older brother play. And on this game, there's a bunch of dances. They're called Fortnite dances. There's, 50 different dances, and Charlie, who's 5, knows how to do all 50 dances on call. So you call out the name of the dance, and he'll perform it for you. I'm not sure if you saw it. Actually, at Coronation, he did one of the dances on stage. So when I walk Maya up on stage, when she gets introduced, the families join along.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
So we had my wife and my two boys in the background while we're walking Maya up to stage. And when Maya did her little deal telling you who she is, who walked her to stage, and who's joining her on the stage, she mentioned that her two brothers, JT and Charlie, and as Maya went back to give them a hug, Charlie, who's 5, did what's called a gentleman's dab. So it's a dab, but you go down on one knee and do it very slowly.
What is a dab?
A dab is something, you can't really see it on radio, but it's something like
that guy that was a great runner.
Yeah, the quarterback, yeah.
The Olympic guy from Puerto Rico or wherever it was.
Could be. A lot of people do know.
He makes that
dash. Yep.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Are you saying dash?
Dab, D-A-B.
Okay.
As in boy, yeah. So the gentleman's dab is that move,
okay.
But then you go down slowly like you're bowing.
Okay.
So he did that in front of the, 2,000 people that were there that night. And
I thought it was 3,000, but anyway.
Yeah, I was guessing. So is it really 3,000? Maybe 4. But yeah, so some people in the audience saw him do that, and they got a kick out of that.
You know, I'm really glad you told me that, because we were doing our script, looking at the script, and Julie wanted us to stay as close to the script as possible.
Yep.
And I heard the crowd laugh. And then by the time I turned around, I think I even said, I missed that.
You did say that. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So that was that time. Yep. So you have to watch it on the video.
Yeah. Good idea. I think I will do that. 10 minutes before 10 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair, my guest this morning on KYMN, Chris Groutman. He is a teacher and a coach in the Northfield School District. He is the father of Maya, Groutman, who was the reigning junior ambassador this year. She still has to get, she gets to go to, she's going to the
Pepperfest.
The Pepperfest on Saturday.
Correct.
And could you tell that she's kind of a little bit sad about having to give up her situation?
There's mixed emotions. Maya is our big lover. She's our little mom. So she's very excited for everybody. So she's excited for the person that she put the crown on. It was Emma Katavi, I believe, that she crowned. So she just is excited for everybody. But yeah, I think she's a little, you know, a little sad, and that Pepperfest will be her last time. But every ambassador goes through this, right?
Yep.
It's kind of the changing of the guards, and she had a fabulous year with her bigs, with Julie, with Shelley, with everybody on the committee. What a great program to put these five girls together, and I think genuinely they'll all talk going forward for probably a very, very long time.
Well, many years ago, I think it was 1981, we started visiting the schools, and we learned quickly after the first year, you don't go to the middle school.
Okay.
You just don't do that. Because those kids, you probably teach them. But we do visit Greenville and St. Dominic's and Bridgewater and Sibley.
Yes.
And they seat all the kids on the gym floor. And these kids are just, loud and happy. And then, boom, they're real quiet. We give our presentation. They do their cheering in between and all that. But I knew that there are little girls sitting there looking up at the ambassadors. At that time, they were queens and princesses.
Right.
And I could just sense that those little girls were in awe of that. And since then, I've talked to kids, or ambassadors, if you will,
yep,
that remember us, are coming to their school and visiting. And yes, they did look up and say, wow, man, that would be cool. And then it turns out they learned it's all about education, poise, personality, and not a beauty contest.
Of course, yep.
And everybody looks beautiful in a tiara.
Yeah, I was at those schools. Proud dad, obviously. I wanted to, just kind of soak it all in. So you go into all those different schools, and I think they had a couple of the rodeo people there with the ropes and the rope tricks. And yeah, if you're in second grade or third grade, you're gonna get a kick of all that stuff. And Maya took it all in. She loved it. And yep, now it's time for the new ambassadors. Do it all over again.
We have one more break before the 10 o'clock news on the Wayne Eddy Affair. We'll be right back on KYMN 1080 on your AM dial with Chris Groutman.
The 51st Annual Randolph Hampton Fire District Barbecue and Street Dance will be Saturday, August 18th at the Randolph Fire Hall, with dinner served from 3 to 8 p.m. After enjoying chicken, baked beans, and sweet corn, listen to the sweet tunes from Uncle Chunk from 8 p.m. until midnight. Just $15 for adults, $8 for kids 12 and under. Don't miss the flea market, craft fair, and games. Come to the 51st Annual Randolph Hampton Fire District Barbecue and Street Dance on Saturday, August 18th at the Randolph Fire Hall.
When it's time for preventative maintenance on your new car or truck, you don't just take your car into anyone. At Witt Brothers Service in Northfield, you know you found a name you can trust. To start, we're a Napa Auto Care Center, so the technicians we employ are experts trained in every aspect of your vehicle's maintenance. This gives you the peace of mind in knowing that everything we do is accepted under the terms of your manufacturer's warranty. Add to that the fact that we use quality Napa parts that meet or exceed original equipment and specifications. And you have the one place where you can entrust all of your vehicles. Come see Witt Brothers Service in downtown Northfield today.
Hi, I'm Pam Fikencher, senior pastor at St. John's Lutheran Church in Northfield. St. John's invites you every Sunday to a joyful musical service of Word and Sacrament at 8:30 and 10 a.m. We're located at 500 3rd Street West in Northfield. If you can't join us in person, listen live at 8:30 a.m. on AM 1080 KYMN or online at kymnradio.net. You are always welcome at St. John's. We hope to see you soon.
Kiss me.
No, I won't. That's the title. Can you name that performers or whatever?
Might need a hint there, Wayne.
Pardon me?
Might need a hint.
Okay.
not Natalie. I don't know.
Well, the people back when this was popular, the ones that were richer than anybody else, were able to buy this on an iPod, I think. That was a hint. Okay, I'll just
Steve Jobs?
No, yeah. Sixpence.
Oh.
What? You know, sixpence, none the richer.
Okay.
You ever heard of it?
I have, but I wouldn't have got that. I got the name of the title, though.
Yes, you did.
Something.
Yep. Sixpence, none the richer with Kiss Me, number six in all of 1999. 4 minutes before 10 o'clock in the news on the Wayne Eddy Affair. And our guest this morning is a gentleman by the name of Chris Groutman. And so far, we know he was born in Mankato, spent the first six years of his life in St. Peter. His father is Tom, and his mother is Denise. And he has one sister, and that's Stephanie, who's 4 years younger. And now he is married to a Northfielder, Tony, and they have three children. JT is 10, Mia is 8, and Maya is 8, and Charlie is 5.
Those are the three.
Okay. And let me jot down your wife's maiden name. Let me see, Osman?
It's McClish's maiden name, but Osman is the Towny, well-known name.
Okay.
Yep.
So the Osmonds, all right. Were you a fan of the Osmond brothers and sisters singing?
Who are the
Donnie,
Donnie and Marie?
Yeah.
I have seen one show of theirs way back. It was, I don't know, like Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Yeah.
Yep. So I saw that.
That was good.
Yeah, it was good. Yep. Other than that,
Well, you saw her losing weight all the time.
I didn't pay attention to her.
Oh, well, she was, I think, a Weight Watcher.
Okay.
Or whatever. Yeah. She'd come on and she says, look where I was and where I am today. And 5 years later, look where I was and where I am today. So anyhow, unfortunately, a lot of people have to fight weight problems. That isn't the case with you. And what are you, about 5 foot 11 and 3/4 and 173 pounds?
Maybe a little bit bigger on the, a little less on the 5'11 and 3/4. Thanks for almost giving me credit for 6 feet. I like to be called 6 foot, but it's probably more like 5'10, 5'11. But now with my gallbladder out, who knows what's going to happen with the weight? I don't know.
Oh, so, does that have something to do with it?
I'm not sure. I mean, appetite's not quite back yet, but.
A former partner of mine, Stan Steinicke, had a gallstone removed, and I went up to visit him at the old hospital, and he showed me the stone, and I thought, yeah, what is this, a stone inside your body? Is that what you had?
Yeah, and you know, I didn't ask to get my gallstone, but I think I'll be able to get pictures of it. And it was 2 centimeters in diameter. So
is that as big as a marble, or
it's probably.
Do you even know what a marble is?
I do know what a marble is. It's bigger than a marble.
Okay.
So it's, yeah. So it's probably
and hurts
twice the size of a marble, probably.
And hurts.
Well, it hurts when it's blocking where it needed to go.
But it's kind of funny. You say you don't need your gallbladder, but yet it's the gallstone is blocking something. So you wonder why something must pass through that gallbladder somewhere.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if we want to get it onto the radio, Wayne, but I've heard of more information of the gallbladder than I probably needed to know. But it does have a use, but people can live without it. No problem.
Well, I wonder if that's where, boy, you've got a lot of gall. Well, as in painful. Okay. It's 10 o'clock. We're going to take a break for the news, then we're going to come back, and we're going to find out about the high school career, college career, family career of our guest on the Wayne Eddy Affair, Chris Groutman. This is your radio station. We are 1080 on the AM dial, and we're the 95.1 FM.
Tragedy in Italy. Trump barks back. I'm John Trout. Officials in Italy say at least 22 people are dead after a section of bridge collapsed in Genoa. Nick Robertson reports weather may have contributed to structure failure.
There was a tremendous thunderstorm in the minutes before the bridge collapsed. The bridge absolutely sheared off. This is the main highway that runs along the coastline here from Italy into France.
Reports say there are crushed vehicles under the rubble with casualties inside. Incendiary remarks from President Trump directed toward ousted staffer Omarosa.
Maybe we need to be ready for the next Omarosa recording to drop. She claims to have many from White House aides from her time working there. The president got in the first shot this morning, quote, when you give a crazed, crying lowlife a break and give her a job at the White House, I guess it just didn't work out. Good work by General Kelly for quickly firing that dog, end quote. Omarosa's book, Unhinged, is out today.
There's Bob Costantini in Washington. Correspondent Caitlin Collins at the White House explains fellow employees of the outplaced Omarosa Manigault Newman had suspicions their talks with her were being documented.
Omarosa's recordings of her conversations with John Kelly and President Trump himself have created this sense of paranoia in the West Wing. When she was about to leave the White House last December, her colleagues long suspected that she was recording their conversations, and now those fears seem to have come to the light.
A fourth firefighter has been killed battling the California wildfires.
We're extremely heartbroken for this loss.
A firefighter from Utah was on the front lines of the largest fire in state history, the Mendocino Complex fire, when he was injured and died from those injuries at a local hospital. Incident Commander Steve Cavanaugh says they are investigating exactly what went wrong. 10 people have been killed in these fires. 6 have been firefighters. There are 17 wildfires burning in California. I'm Jim Roop.
On Wall Street, the Dow is up 66 points. I'm John Trout.
When I get older, losing my head, many years from now, will you still be sending me a Valentine? Birthday greetings, bottle of wine. If I'd been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
We're back live and in color on the Wayne Eddy Affair. Good morning, everybody. 10:03 the time. And I don't know the temperature. I suppose I could do a little bit of a cheating thing here.
I have 79, Wayne.
Oh, on your watch?
On my watch.
Really?
Yep.
Huh. Okay, I won't hit my phone up. 73 degrees, that's nice. It's a little bit overcast right now. All right, our guest this morning, we've been chit-chatting about his youth in St. Peter and then Northfield, and the fact that he played a little bit of American Legion baseball, and that you live next to Mickey Scholl, a friend of mine, and that you have 3 children, and you have 1 sister 4 years younger, and your wife's name is Emilia.
Emiliana.
Emiliana.
Yes.
Do you call her Emil?
I've not called her Emil. Maybe I will now, though.
Okay.
She'll enjoy that one.
Emiliana. What's the story behind that name?
So,
Emiliana.
Her dad, who was the McClish, was overseas in the Philippines for Vietnam, heard that name or some variation of that name. And then obviously when he was back and had my wife, he remembered that name and that's where it is. Came from over in the Philippines.
All right. Well, I was thinking like, well, now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Joe Smith. He's from Emiliana, Pennsylvania.
Hey, there you go. You got it perfectly. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so well, let's get you into the high school years. Now, was your father the AD while you were in school?
He was not. He was a middle school sixth grade teacher at the old middle school, and he was the girls' basketball coach.
Oh, okay.
For the varsity, and a assistant baseball coach. So when I was going to be a junior in high school, my dad actually gave up the reins of being the high school basketball girls' coach so he could watch me play basketball for the boys, because back then and still now, you know, if the girls are playing in, let's call it, Owatonna, the boys are playing in Northfield, right? And then if the girls are playing in Rochester, the boys are playing in Northfield. So if he was still coaching, he wouldn't have been able to see me play. So when I was able to, you know, be a starter on the varsity basketball team as a junior, he gave up his reins as a basketball coach and handed it over to Tony Matheson at that point. And Tony Matheson is still currently the girls' varsity coach. Okay. In Northfield. So yeah, he did that. So I played here for Paul Eddy. I don't think there's any relation.
I do have to tell the story again. Jeff Johnson was doing an interview, and he said, "Oh, I have Paul Eddy on the line, and I'm and he's in another studio, and I'm looking over there through the glasses, and what? Paul Eddy? That's my dad."
Oh, no way.
Yeah, Paul, you know, I was just, you know, that's the first time I ever heard about him.
Okay.
And I thought he had caught, I don't know, I just didn't know, I thought maybe it was a surprise or something, but obviously it wasn't.
Different Paul Eddy.
Yeah,
but yeah,
okay,
yep, so
go ahead.
Paul is currently a high school teacher, no longer the boys' basketball coach, but he was my basketball coach for my 2 years, or 3 years, actually, of high school, and great person, great teacher. Great motivator. Have a lot of respect for him. And so, yeah, I played 2 years for him. And then I also played baseball for Pete Moss,
okay.
Who's a longtime Northfield baseball coach, probably since the early 80s and through, you know, mid 2000s. Actually, probably more like 2015, he coached until, so 30-some years. And he's in the Hall of Fame for a baseball coach for the state.
I go all the way back to Arnie Giebold, and your facial expression is,
yep,
like, never heard of him.
No. Nope.
Yeah, Arnie was quite a nice man. I really enjoyed him. And I go all the way back to 1979 when Gary took the girls to the state championship game.
Snowbrook, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
And that was a... exciting. It was so exciting.
Well, you know, the current Northfield basketball team went to the state finals this past year.
Yeah.
And one of the coaches was Tammy Metcalf-Filson.
Yep, she was on that 79 team.
She was on the 79 team and was one of the coaches for the current team who finished second place in the state this year.
Isn't that exciting?
Yep. Big circle.
Okay, so we're going to talk about your high school years. Now, you played baseball and you played basketball. Did you do track or football? Wrestle?
Nope, just those two sports.
No hockey?
In 97, that's when Northfield won the state football championship. And Bubba talked to me a few times to play football, but I was probably 130 pounds at that time, Wayne, so 140 maybe lucky. So football wasn't for me, but obviously enjoyed watching my colleagues and my friends and classmates participate on that championship team. And but yeah, basketball and baseball were my two things, and then I went to Minnesota State Mankato and played baseball there for 3.5 years.
Well, we'll talk about your high school year, and one of the things I like to do is ask people that have participated in any level of sports, any boy or girl, man or woman, will always remember one particular thing that they did or the team did in a basketball game, for example, in your case. What is the one thing you'll never forget that happened on the basketball court? And this is all about you, so you don't have to be humble.
Okay. Well, there's probably two then.
Well, then tell me both of them.
So one's a positive thing and one's probably not so positive. We'll start with the positive one. I think this is my junior year. It was probably one of my first varsity games, or at least a few games in. And there was we played Holy Angels was in our conference back then.
And Paul Eddy was the coach?
Paul Eddy was the coach. And we had a nice player that we had to compete against. His name was Troy Bell. Troy Bell went on to play 4 years at Boston College, was a all-conference player there. He played a couple years in the NBA. Can't remember what team, but he was a first-round draft pick. So obviously very talented athlete that we played against. And so when we're playing him in my junior year, he was the same age as I. I think I scored like 7 or 9 points all in a row. And I wasn't a big scorer. But I remember when I scored my 9th point in a row, within probably a couple minutes, Troy Bell went to his team and said, he probably swore, but he said, "Who is this guy, and why can't anybody stop him?" So I just remember that as, well, geez, Troy Bell says, "No one can stop me. I'm just this, 5'9", 140-pound kid that, you know, probably got lucky a few times and scored a few baskets." A couple were probably against this NBA athlete who eventually went on to play in the NBA.
Were you a guard?
I was a guard, yeah. So at my stature.
Well, that took a lot of guts to take it all the way.
Yeah, so I got in there with the big boys a little bit. So, again, it was a fun ride for those few minutes. But, so against Troy Bell, who's a fantastic athlete. And at the time, we didn't know, that he was going to be an NBA athlete, obviously. We knew he had some potential, and he was a good scorer and a very, very tough player in high school.
Was he tall?
I think he was 6'1", 6'2", okay. Something like that.
A forward.
Very quick. He was point guard. He was everything.
Oh. Okay.
So yeah, he's very quick, good shooter, quick shot. But his biggest attribute was just his quickness. I mean, he could take a dribble and jump shots and before he even knew he even moved. But we usually competed against them. I think we beat them more than they beat us. We beat them in a game here in Northfield. I think it was like 98-96. So, fun game for the fans in overtime to beat Troy Bell and the Holy Angels. So that was the positive side of things, I guess. On the negative side of things, we had a overtime loss in the section final to Red Wing, and we missed a couple free throws to go to the state tournament, which obviously is every kid's and every team's goal, is let's get to the state tournament, and we were short by a couple seconds, so a team from Red Wing, a kid banked in a free throw to tie the game, to send it into overtime with only a couple seconds left, and we just fell 1 point short, and I tell this story to all of the kids I coach. Give it everything you got, because once it's over, you can't go back, right? So making sure when you're competing, doing everything you possibly can to do your best, to have your team do the best, and leave it all on the field or the courts or, whatever you're trying to do to make sure that, you're not 1 point short. Because, I still think about it, on a yearly basis.
I think one of the key words that you just used, I think I understand it, but there may be some people that don't understand it or didn't catch it. And you said that he banked in a foul shot.
Yes.
Now, is that like he couldn't swish? He had to bank it.
So, he's 17 or 18 years old too, right? And they're down by one with 1 second left. To either win the game or send it into overtime. So his nerves are probably going crazy, right? And, we're obviously hoping that he'd miss both free throws. He actually missed the first one. So we knew at the worst case scenario, we were going to go into overtime. So then the second one, he probably didn't want to miss short. So he overcompensated and banked it in. And then they took over in overtime. So, he also went to Mankato with me. He didn't play any sports there, but we had definitely some conversations over the years about you actually banked in the free throw to send your team into state tournament. So,
and that it can only be appreciated by those that play the game.
Sure, right.
Because like, oh, you sissy, you banked it in. It's supposed to go swish.
Right.
14 minutes after 10 o'clock on KYMN Radio, my guest this morning is Chris Grupman, and we're talking about his high school years here in Northfield. And now let's do the baseball thing that you have. Are you taking a picture of yourself?
No, I just, no picture.
Oh, okay.
You want to do a selfie, Wayne?
No. Well, afterwards.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyhow, he had his phone leaning up against the mic stand, and I thought maybe you were videotaping the interview. So anyhow, let's talk about that baseball game, that good one or that bad one that you'll never forget as a high school baseball player.
So in baseball, it's a little bit different because there's not that many points of memories, but I think the biggest accomplishments that, that I have, or at least I remember, is my first ever varsity start on the mound. My senior year, I had a really good year. I was chosen to be on the Lions All-Star Baseball team, for the top Southern Metro players in the state. So that was a good accomplishment, right? But my first varsity start when I was a sophomore on the mound, all of a sudden Pete Moss, I didn't even know it was coming, said, "All right, Chris, we need you to start for a game tomorrow." And I was playing on the sophomore team or JV or whatever it was at that time, and all of a sudden, okay, well, I guess here we go. And not only did I start on the mound, but I also hit, which is usually probably not the case, especially if you're going to pull up a sophomore, you're probably going to DH him, so the sophomore can just go out and pitch and do their thing. But I also batted too, and I thought that was pretty cool. So I just found, my dad pulled it out for some reason because they're selling their house. So you know, he pulled out some old newspapers from the Northfield News and actually found the article of that first outing that I had. And it, you know, it gives a little bit of a game recap and kind of what happened. And sure, in my memory, I thought I did pretty good, and it sounded like I did. But it came down to my actual batting that actually helped the team win the game rather than my pitching. So we ended up winning. I probably threw 6-7 innings or whatever it was, but I think we won 3-2 that game, and I think it was some type of tournament game or a some type of tournament game.
So what did you do with your bat?
I think I just got a hit and got on, right? You know, okay. So, you know, just a recap, I can't remember. It was probably Buzz who wrote that article back then. Buzz King, I think it was, for Northfield News. But so, yeah, I was probably got it on base or scored the winning run or whatever. But, yeah, it was fun just kind of read that article.
Well, how big were you as a sophomore to pitch?
I was probably 5'9", 130, 135. So it was more craft.
What was your special pitch?
Probably my split finger, I guess. So I would put the ball between my two index finger and my middle finger, and throw that just like I would throw any other pitch. And if I threw it correctly, it would just drop.
Yeah.
So you know, hopefully the people would swing over the top of it. So.
What's it like when you have a 3-2 count? Bases loaded, bottom of the ninth, and you're the visiting team.
Just got to throw a strike, Wayne. See what they can do.
Yep. That is something that did you ever throw your shoulder out or throw your elbow out or throw your rotator cuff out?
Yeah, it's surprising you actually asked that. So I played at Minnesota State Mankato for 3.5 years, and the part of the reason I didn't continue to progress that is I had labrum surgery. So it's near the rotator cuff area in the shoulder, and I don't know if it was probably my sophomore or junior year. I kind of threw my arm out. I went through it with pain for a while, and then I just had to get it checked out. And sure enough, it was a labrum tear. And after that, it was just hard to come back with. You know, I probably didn't put as much effort to the recovery as I probably could have to do it. So, but even to this day, if I try to throw with any velocity or any throw it hard at all, I can still kind of feel it pinched back there a little bit. Good enough to throw batting practice to my son, no problem there, but yeah, that kind of wiped me out a little bit.
Now, you're lefty?
I'm lefty.
Okay, and so when did you realize you were a lefty? Most people are right-handed, and you were a pitcher left-handed or total?
Everything left-handed, yeah.
Okay, when did you realize you were different?
Well, my parents realized it way before I did, you know, but my dad, who's a baseball guy too, and an infielder, so you can't really play infield as a left-hander. So I think he was growing, you know, saying, okay, I want to teach my son how to play these positions, right? So when he got a screwed up lefty, he was all like, okay, now what do I do? But I remember him telling me stories that every time I pick up a fork or a spoon or whatever, I would always put it in my left hand. He would take it out of my left hand, put it in my right hand, and I would have to eat with my right hand. Well, sure enough, I would put it back into my left hand and start eating there. So eventually he kind of gave up and knew that it was a lost cause. But yeah, I'm one of the special ones being a lefty, Wayne.
Do you have to sit at a certain position at the table?
Yep, always at the end of the corner on the left side.
Yeah, that's what I do because of this thing here.
Sure.
And my mom was left-handed, and I remember her, she was always a nervous wreck. I don't know why, but I can just see her saying, oh, I have to sit there. I'm left-handed. I have to sit there. I don't want to bang elbows with you.
Yep, I have to teach my 10-year-old son about that now. He's like, well, why do you have to sit there? It's like, well, if I sit here with you, this is what we're going to do the whole time. So, yeah, there's all those little weird, awkward things that you have to do as lefties. It's a right-handed world, Wayne, and we live in it.
All right, we've got the baseball play, and we got the football play or basketball plays. And were you a class leader? Were you like a vice president or?
No, I was captain on both the baseball and basketball teams, but no, not the class reunion people. No.
Okay, I'm going to ask you to start memorizing. If you were to think, I'm going to take a brief break, about a minute. And I want you to come back and name as many kids you went to high school with, either the basketball team and or the baseball team or class plays or anything, so other people listening say, oh, yeah, I went to school with him, or, oh, that's my friend's granddaughter, whatever.
Sure.
We'll be right back.
The Kenyon Rose Fest not only offers entertainment and plenty of treats, it brings the community together to celebrate and have some fun. Grinnell Mutual and Kenyon Holden Warsaw Mutual are happy to support the Kenyon Rose Fest today because we know it positively impacts the community for tomorrow. Contact Carla at Kenyon Holden Warsaw Mutual, your local Grinnell Mutual provider in Wanamingo, where you get the coverage you need from the people you know. And they'll be there when you need them most, because Kenyon Holden Warsaw Mutual grows trust locally. Trust in Tomorrow is a registered trademark of Grinnell Mutual Reinsurance Company.
Hello, Twins fans. This is Jennifer Novak with the law firm of Grundhoffer & Lutescher in downtown Northfield. I joined Grundhoffer & Lutescher last summer, and like the rest of the team, I am committed to providing outstanding legal representation. Having grown up in nearby Lonsdale, I feel especially proud to go to bat for the people of Northfield and the surrounding communities. My specialties include family law, criminal law, and business law. Here at Grundhoffer & Lutescher, we always strive for a home run for our clients, so stop on in or find us online at www.northfieldlaw.com.
Well, this is definitely Britney Spears.
Yes, that's correct. Name that tune.
It's probably been 16 years since I've heard it, so I gotta wait for the chorus. Hit me, baby, one more time.
All right, you got it. Well, I'll give it to you. It took you a while, but it got done. I remember Britney Spears not because of her music or anything, but the television stuff and cutting off her hair and having kids and all that stuff. And now she's about your age, isn't she, or a little
almost,
older?
Yeah, I think she is, yep.
Okay, 25 minutes after 10 o'clock, my guest this morning on KYMN Radio is Chris Groupman. And, you know, I don't want you to feel that you're living in the shadow of your dad, Tom. I know that you're an individual and all that, but with the listeners that I have on this station, they can relate more to your dad.
Yep.
And so when I say Chris Groupman, they're all thinking, wonder if that's any relation to Tom, and you're his son. So I assume I'm correct on that feeling. But you're proud of your dad.
I'm very proud of my dad, and actually, even in my current job, it happens all the time. So it's good to just have that common person that you kind of know and a place where you can kind of start a conversation. So, he did a great job. Very proud of him, and he's a great Northfield person.
Well, tell me about some of the kids you graduated with or played ball with or hung around with.
Yeah, so, I have a pretty tight close high school friends, and we still do a lot of different things together, a lot of activities, a lot of trips. Actually, this weekend, that lake place that we were talking about a while ago, I'm actually having a bunch of buddies up there this weekend. We call it Glader Days.
And spouses?
Nope, just the boys. So we call it Glader Days that we're going up there, and it's an annual event. It's just 2 or 3 days, and, you know, just play some yard games and go on the lake and do some tubing and skiing and, you know, have some beverages and stuff like that. But a lot of those people that that go to this location is also the people that I shared a court and a field with as well. So you talk about what sports does. It's, you know, it's not just the playing the game aspect. It's the building the relationships with some of these friends that not only are going to be your friends now, but, you know, friends 19 years later that you still kind of hang out with. So sports does a lot of amazing things, and that's just one piece of it. So you know, a couple of the friends that I still kind of hang out with, and most of their parents are still in the Northfield area. Actually, I just saw one walk by not too long ago. So Scott Christensen, who's a very good player for basketball and actually played at Carleton for 4 years. He's a good friend of mine.
And who's his dad?
Yep, Jim Christensen.
Okay.
Yep, so I think he's a Goodbye Blue Monday person.
Who regular. Usually goes,
yeah, yeah, he's a regular there. So probably in the 9 o'clock hour, he walked by the studio here. So Jim and Jan are Scott's parents. So Colin Perkins is another one. He was the quarterback our senior year. He's also the class president.
Is he the one whose father has that moving company?
No.
No, a different. Okay.
Must be, yep. So his dad's Chuck.
Oh, Chuck, yep. Perkins.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Chuck and Deanie. Yep. Adam Van Sickle, another good buddy. He's actually still in Northfield, so he lives here.
Is his dad's name Randy?
Nope, his dad's Terry. So Terry is a big Dundas Duke person. So he's always down at the Duke's field. So, yeah, Adam Van Sickle, Kevin Noonan. So Jim and Lori are still in town here, and another one's probably Grant Niebuhr. So Brenda was a teacher in town. She retired not too many years ago, and I can keep rattling off, you know, a bunch of teammates and classmates too, but
just say names.
Well, I didn't write them down yet. So it's the top of my head. Then.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what I do every day.
I suppose you do.
Did you ever think about, or ask to play for the Knights or the Dukes?
Whoever played for them?
Have you ever given it a thought to play for the Knights or the Dukes?
I played for both of them.
Okay, I didn't know that.
There we go.
Okay, but your arm hurts.
Yes, that was way back when, though, so it's been a few years since
I've been
there.
Okay, well, now let's just skip right over to Mankato, okay, where you went to college.
Yes.
Okay. What did you major in?
Finance.
Okay. And why did you choose finance?
It's a good question. I don't know.
Easy?
Well...
No, I'm just kidding.
It probably stemmed from my mom. You know, I was a big education family. So, you know, my dad probably thought I'd go in to be a teacher of some sort. I love coaching. I've done that for many years. So that was probably going to be a good fit, too. But liked math, good with math, good with numbers, enjoyed finance. At that point, in the late 90s, early 2000s, there was a big need for that type of... role and degree, so that's what I chose to do, and it's obviously helped out with my current career currently.
And when did you and your wife, whose name is Emiliana, did I do it?
Got it.
Okay. When did you get married?
2005.
Five. Okay. So right out of college.
First year, 1 year after college. Yeah, yeah. My senior, I think it was 1 year afterwards. But okay. Anyway, well, but it was up at...
To me, that's right out of college. Okay.
Yeah, so we got married right up at Bow Chapel
at
St. Olaf.
So. Well, how come?
My wife is the coordinator of all that stuff. She loved she went to Gustavus, you know, so she liked the chapel there, but didn't want to go to St. Peter to do that. But so we did it at Bow Chapel.
We had one young lady whose father was, I think, the superintendent or principal of Farmington High School, and whose mother, Guy, was a professor at Mankato State. And they go to St. John's Church here, and their daughter was, back when it was Queen and Two Princesses,
yep.
Her daughter was Queen, and she became a doctor, and she practices in the Twin Cities now, and she had her wedding on the St. Olaf campus. This is where I'm getting at.
Yep.
And Guy asked me, her mother, if I would escort them in my convertible, and I dressed up like a raider, and I interfered with her after the wedding ceremony and whisked them away in the Black Mariah or whatever.
Cool.
So when you said that's why I asked why you had it at St. Olaf, because this young lady had graduated from St. Olaf.
I don't know. Yeah, okay. My wife would know that one. I just went along with the plan.
Yeah, okay. A happy wife is a happy life.
You got it.
Amen, I say unto you. So you get out of Mankato. You get married about a year after you're out of Mankato. And where did you live after you graduated and before you got married?
My wife bought a townhouse. She's a teacher.
Your wife bought a townhouse?
She bought a townhouse.
You married a woman who had a townhouse already?
Yeah, living the dream here, Wayne. So up by Greenville, so there was a townhouse there. So it was our first actual house that we bought. This was probably 2005, before the market kind of took a crash.
2008, yeah.
Yep. So we bought it there and actually sold it. Before the market took a crash, but obviously we bought at the height of the market as well.
What was your first job?
I've only had one company. It's Wells Fargo, and I worked up in downtown Minneapolis for a couple of years, but lived in Northfield, and that commute got to me a little bit. So
I was going to ask you about that.
So about 2 years through that, I had the opportunity to come down to the Wells Fargo locally here in town, and been here ever since. I've had numerous jobs here in town as a banker, as a branch manager.
Let me kind of go.
Sure.
I want to go deeper, if I may.
You go.
Okay, so here you are working for corporate,
yep,
America, and you're working in downtown Minneapolis. You got to drive there, you got to park there, you got to unpark, and you got to drive home. In an 8-hour day, banker's hours, turns out to be a 11-hour day.
Correct.
Committed to your commute and your job. And then you get to come to a branch in your hometown. Now, was that pure luck, or did you negotiate or manipulate or both?
I hope it wouldn't be pure luck. I hope it's on the merit of what I have done and accomplished. But yeah, that you're exactly right. It was before kids that I was commuting up to Minneapolis, and in the winter it could have been a 14-hour day. It's an entry level job too, so that obviously the income piece was fine, but it was still, you're committing to at least 10 hours, at least an hour one way to get there and an hour to get back in an 8-hour day. And then, if any traffic or weather or anything happened, you're going to exponentially increase those times. So knowing that we were going to potentially have a young family, kids, I couldn't obviously have 12-hour away from family time and being out of the town. So had the opportunity to transition over to the local Wells Fargo yes.
What position did you hold when you first started?
Personal banker. Yep. So, doing checking, savings, small loans, those type of things for the community people here. And
well, you said here. I'm talking about up in Minneapolis.
Oh, up in Minneapolis. I was more in the operational investment area, so not super exciting. I just answered phones and try to resolve problems.
Okay, and you drove all that time to answer the phone.
Well,
you could have worked from home almost, huh?
So it was more of the opportunity to get my foot in the door,
yeah,
to a company that to branch out, because I knew there was endless opportunities in there with my background, with my finance degree, with getting into a company that large. I knew there were going to be endless opportunities, and the opportunities have been great. It's a wonderful company. They do a great job promoting and giving back to the community.
Well, I'm going to interrupt you here and tell you that we started a investment club. Jeff Johnson was also in this 7-man investment club.
Yep.
In Northwest, or Wells Fargo, was one of the better investments we made. We started it in 2000 and dropped out of it, I think, in 2010, maybe.
Okay.
And great growth and all that. Now, of course, he hit the fan most recently,
right,
as you probably are totally aware of. But to get transferred down to your hometown bank, that's pretty marvelous, because there are people at the bank there now that commute to Northfield,
sure,
to fill their jobs, not in their hometown.
So it's nice having the 5-minute commute. I actually own a scooter, so I take my scooter to work sometimes. I get some hard times from the employees there every once in a while, but you know, it's awesome being able to get to work within, you know, a few minutes.
Yeah. Well, I remember from driving from my home to from Bridgewater Township to Waterford Township. You know, it took 15 minutes,
right,
at 5 o'clock in the morning. Maybe a little less if I was in a hurry, but to get from my house to downtown, that's so much nicer. Not going on the dirt roads and all that. So when you came into Northfield and you're going, wow, I'm getting transferred to Northfield, what job do they want you to do at that point in your career?
Yeah, I was a personal banker at that point.
Now, personal banker, the ones that sit at desks?
Yes.
And you help customers, small loans, the big loans go to the real estate division.
Yep.
And business loans go to the industrial side,
yep,
of it. So you're handling the people with checking accounts, savings accounts, CDs, and
correct,
and all of that.
Correct.
And you've got to watch the flow of the interest rates on passbook savings, CDs, and also balanced out on the loaning end of it.
So when I started there, I don't know what year, this might have been 2009, 2010, but yeah, you'd be able to come in, get a CD, you know, get 6.5% and, you know, for a year and call it good. Those times are obviously gone now. I think they're coming back. The rates are up a little bit more, but they went from basically 6% down to zero in a hurry when the market took a crash.
Well, what surprised me and my naivety, the first time I had an opportunity to buy a CD, that was a big deal, you know. And what do you mean you're going to take money away from me if I want to cash it in? I don't get that, man. It's my money. And then the realization that you may have bought a good deal at 6.5%, but the rate is only good for a year.
Right.
Then it adjusts.
Correct.
And I thought, well, that's screwy. You know, I thought this was for a lifetime. You can get the 3 years and
sure,
multiple years, right?
Yes.
What's the longest you can get the guaranteed interest rate on a CD?
I think it's pretty long, like 20 years. So, back in the 80s, right, when the rates were very, very high, you know, I don't know if these people got lucked into it or they're smart, but they bought into long-term CDs or long-term bonds, right? And they're getting 15, 14, 13% for 20 years.
Wow.
Right? So, you know, and then those mature, and now you're saying, well, geez, now I'm going to get 4 or 5%. Even though 4 and 5 at the current rates seem pretty good, they were getting 14, 15, 16 for 20 years.
Yeah.
So we had some of those that came due and got off the books, and it's like, well, you got either really lucky and timed it great, or they knew what was going to happen.
Wow. That would be something. I remember when we had, I don't know if you ever listened to KYMN Radio when you were a little kid. Probably not. It doesn't look that way by your facial expression. We had a show called the Big Kim Auction Man Show, and it was very, very popular. It started in 1969, and I was selling passbook savings accounts, earning $5 gift certificate. This is how far back we go. $5 gift certificate, good for a 4.5% savings account to start at that time, Northwestern State Bank.
Okay.
And in other communities and other banks within this community, the passbook savings account was at 4, 3.5%. And when I started selling those $5 gift certificates at 4.5%, all the other banks went to 4.5% because they were going like, right out the window, and people were withdrawing their money and buying those. I mean, not a rush like the old day, but, you know, they could see the action and the activity. 20 minutes before it is 11 o'clock, you know, I keep forgetting this show isn't all about me. It's about you, and I got to quit talking about myself. So we're going to take this break here and come back and find out more about your career with Wells Fargo in Northfield.
Sometimes it takes more than words to solve a complex real estate transaction. Navigating complex solutions and getting you and your estate in a better place is the number one priority. With over 30 years of experience, the Franklin D. Peterson Law Firm in Kenyon serves local clients in the area of estate, probate, and trust. Come see why our clients seek our business counsel. Supporting the local community, the Franklin D. Peterson Law Firm welcomes you.
Hay season is save season at John Deere. For a limited time, enjoy extra savings on select John Deere mower conditioners and round balers. Pay a visit to your local John Deere dealer to learn just how much you can save on these hard-working hay tools. And get high performance at a low cost, season after season. Offer ends October 26, 2018. Terms and conditions apply. See your John Deere dealer for qualifying products and complete details.
Heartbreak Hotel.
I can't believe this. Who sang it? I'll give you a hint. Her daughter went the same way she went. Drug addict.
Whitney Houston.
Yeah. Is this the Heartbreak Hotel that Elvis Presley did?
It has to be a cover, yeah. I'm not sure.
No,
it no, it's not.
Because that one was when my baby left me. I found a new place to dwell. It's down at the end of the street. I feel so lonely. That was a big song when I was like in the eighth grade. It is 18 minutes before 11 o'clock, and we're talking about your career with the Wells Fargo and the luck that you have to be transferred down here after your first couple of years with them. Now, when you got transferred down here, how old were let's say, JT?
Zero. He wasn't born yet.
Okay.
Yep.
So you got in the townhouse there that your wife was able to purchase before you got married. Where did you move? When did you move from that part of town by the retirement center to the next part of town?
So I currently still live by the YMCA. It's in the old Jasnock area. So. Yep, live on Valley Drive, about a block away from the YMCA, and bought that in 2006. And then that's where we've had all three of our kids been born. And I think, so we moved there in 2006. JT was born in 2008, so we lived there about a year before he was born. And I transitioned from Minneapolis, from Wells Fargo, down to... down to the Northfield branch in 2007, so about a year before JT was born, I transferred down. But knowing we were probably going to have kids at some point, I needed to get closer to Northfield.
Well, for you to be in Northfield 11 years at your young age, that's highly unusual, isn't it, within the Wells Fargo Corporation and others?
Yeah, well, I'm just missed the millennials, and currently the millennials like to jump around and move a little bit more, but knowing that we, like, the community wants to stay here, my wife's already a teacher in town, build a family here, I don't want to go to a suburb and, you know, find a place to work up there. It's convenient being in Northfield, Wells Fargo's given me opportunities and many opportunities and enjoyed working there and being close to home.
Well, the usually isn't the trend that you join a large corporation like that and then you grow, and you do that by being flexible and transferring and getting more experience in different markets and different positions. But I don't want to say you parked yourself here in Northfield, but in the particular area, the arena that you're in, is mortgage lending.
Yep.
And that, of course, is crazy, and then not crazy, and then crazy, and then not crazy. So it behooves somebody that's familiar with the market to stay in one market?
I mean, it's going to depend on the person's situation. Everybody's different. For me, being a coach, being involved with my kids' activities, I've obviously had, could have many opportunities going up to the cities and doing something different through Wells Fargo, but that's not me or what I really want to do. I want to be in the community, see the community grow, see my kids' activities, being able to leave at 3:30 or 4 o'clock if I really, really had to go see my son's baseball game or to drive him somewhere. But if I'm stuck up into the cities, I'm missing out on those opportunities, which I'm not okay with. So, I've certainly had to kind of take it back and say, all right, so I'm in Northfield. This is where I'm going to be. What's the best opportunity for me and my family to grow? And I've found a position to do that, where I don't have to leave Northfield for that work opportunity.
Well, I guess we call that a comfort zone.
I'm in my comfort zone.
Yeah, yep. And I would imagine that the higher-ups that you answer to are probably challenging you more frequently than they would somebody else because of your longevity in this department. And they're maybe thinking, you know, this is a corporate guy. Let's get him into something, where he's the president of a bank or which. What did you think about it when they changed their name from president to store manager?
Branch manager. I can give you the whole story of the Wells Fargo way and why that all went that way. But,
okay.
It had to do with some old management that was down in Rochester that kind of held those presidents together longer than the actual corporate Wells Fargo did. So if you're out in, California or Texas, they never had those presidents for that long until that person retired here in Rochester. Those presidents kind of went away. I like the old model, but again, I'm not one to, push buttons and say, what we have to do because it's obviously not going to change. It's going to be the way it is. But now we have a branch manager who kind of oversees the whole operation here in town.
Well, I'm trying to remember his last name. His first name was Larry, and it was a Northwestern State Bank. And he also was a person that keeps tabs of auctioneering. He's the money guy during an auction, And then Will Bros.
I know Will.
Yep. I just saw him the other day. And then
Bernie.
Bernie. I just saw him the other day. He went down to Faribault from here. Then after Bernie, there was Mark.
Mark Moores.
Mark Moores, who's into independent business, managing portfolios,
correct,
from what I understand. And then, I, of course, one of my favorite all-time Wells Fargo is Rick Huckey.
Yep.
You know Rick?
I know Rick.
He's my neighbor.
Okay. Oh, okay. Now I know where you live.
Yep.
Okay.
And he walks. He and his wife walk every day from their house all the way down to Highway 3 and back.
Okay.
Every day.
Yep.
Maybe sometimes twice a day. And then I got into the realm of store managers, and I'm going like, what's this? And it just started becoming corporate where I could deal with Rick on everything. And then pretty soon, Wayne, I can't do that. That's on the personal side. And he was my business guy. And you have to talk to this person over here. And I said, anyhow, I still bank there. Yeah, I recently had some fraud on my account. Boy, is that what a horrible headache. I've read about it before. But when somebody frauds your name and social security number and check cashing and all that and credit cards,
it's a pain.
It takes forever to get it all straightened out. In the meantime, your credit rating could take a dive.
Yeah, and usually we do a pretty good job to combat that up front.
I worked with them, and what's her name, the one that runs the store now? The
Sophia?
No. The one that's, if you walk straight ahead, you walk right into her desk.
Jenny Dack?
Jenny, yeah, mm-hmm. Jenny.
Yep.
So where are you seated?
If you walk in, I'm in the back right corner. Okay. There's an office back there.
So you just sit there by yourself all day? Do you have a secretary? Or?
I have a two-person team, myself and Melissa Running. We're kind of joined together as a group. So we tag team the real estate market here in town and make sure that we're doing everything we can for our borrowers to get them into a house.
Would that be a daughter of a Running I know?
That is a She married into a running.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, Carrie Running.
Yeah.
So that is her father-in-law.
Father-in-law. Yes. Isn't that fun to be in a little town and get to know these
things?
You got
it. Yep.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, our guest this morning is a fellow by the name of Chris Groutman, and we're going to take another brief break here and come back, and I want to know a little bit more about your coaching here in Northfield and what it meant to you to be on the American Legion team and the tournament that was held probably when you were a player many years ago.
Residential or commercial, Cannon Valley Water in Dundas is the place to call for water. Whether it's a complete water conditioning system or just salt delivery and filters, Cannon Valley Water can take care of it. And Cannon Valley Water can also deliver Candy Yohai premium water right to your house or business at great rates, too. Chippewa Springs is as pure today as it was when we first tested it over a century ago, and is proudly distributed by Cannon Valley Water. Pickups are now located at 609 Stafford Lane in Dundas, just behind Aldi. Call Cannon Valley for your water today.
When you work with folks you know, like me, Mark Quinnell, you know what to expect. That's why you should give State Farm Bank a try. A State Farm agent that helps protect your home, your car, and your family can help with your banking needs. It's more than just banking. It's banking with a good neighbor. State Farm Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Some products and services are not available in all areas. For information, call me, State Farm agent Mark Quinnell, at 645-4545.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is.
Not Mariah Carey, is it?
No.
Destiny's Child?
No.
Well, I've heard
T.
T?
T. L.
TLC?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Name that tune.
Not sure.
Number two.
I like Waterfalls. Let's play TLC Waterfalls. Is that on the list there, Wayne?
No. This is the number two song. No Scrubs is
no
the name
Scrubs.
Of that
I
tune.
I should have got that one.
We'll be taking one more break, and when we do that, we'll be playing the number one song, which I played on my radio show back then. So
perfect.
It'll be one that I can not worry about. It's 8 minutes before 11 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair. My guest this morning is a gentleman by the name of Chris Groutman. Chris, we've established that you work in Northfield, play in Northfield, married a townie, and you feel like a townie because you came here at age six. You are a banker, and you played high school sports, some college sports, and then you got into coaching. When did it start, and what, and then where is it at now?
I've always had a passion for that. So it started when I was in high school, actually. So that NYBA that we talked about maybe about an hour ago, I coached in that program for a while, so some youth, some really young kids, T-ball, second grade, third grade. But most recently, my biggest passion has been coaching for the American Legion baseball team. I did that for actually 10 years. This is the first year I have not done it, actually. Kind of handed the reins over to another individual earlier this spring. The reason why mainly was due to my 10-year-old son, to kind of like my dad kind of gave up his coaching, you know, to watch me play. Even though my son was 10, I was going to miss most or all of his baseball games to coach the American Legion. So I thought it was time. 10 years, did it for a decade, loved every minute of it, built the program up to what I felt was a very good accomplishment, and I felt very proud of, you know, what we built for those kids.
Who were your assistants?
I had a number of them over the years. Usually it was past players, you know.
Yeah.
So 2-3 years after they had played for me, I asked them to come back and coach.
Did you ever have the tournament here in town?
So the tournament happened. Must have been in like 2002, 2003.
Okay.
So that was when I was in college.
All right.
So
after
I actually played for the Legion.
Yeah. It was
and
a big
before,
deal.
Before I coached. Yeah. So I remember watching. Some of those are still friends of mine and some old teammates. But I didn't participate on the coaching or the playing end of that tournament. So we're hoping to get it back again at some point in the future. I know Seckler We need to have, I think they're going to put in bathrooms, but they need to have running working bathrooms out there for a tournament of that size and caliber to come back to the Northfield Dundas area.
All right, it's 5 minutes before 11 o'clock on KYMN Radio, a friend you can count on. One final break. We'll play the number one song after that. Then people want to play a little catch-up on what Mom and Dad are doing.
Yep.
You know where we never went? Grandparents. Where do your grandparents live, or did
both,
they live?
Both are actually in Grand Rapids, Minnesota. So I took a lot of trips.
On both
north.
Sides of the
both
family?
Both sides of the family,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, so your mom and dad met in Grand Rapids?
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
The home of Judy Garland.
You got it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I spent a lot of time in Grand Rapids on Sugar Hill.
Okay. Yep. Sugar Lake.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Yep.
Well, they had a ski thing too.
Okay.
I think.
Sure.
And Kapokegama.
Pokegama. Yep.
How did you say it?
Pokegama.
Pokegama.
Yep.
They had a flea bag motel or hotel, kind of like what the Archer House was when it was a Stewart Hotel, you know, old and fire trap and all that. But now, of course, this one is all up to code and beautiful. But I was staying with a buddy of mine, and somehow we got mixed up back at age 20, 21, and I ended up staying at the Kapokegama. Did I say Pokegama?
You got it.
Okay. And his mother was so mad. Do you realize how embarrassing that is that my guest stayed at that? I had no idea. I was from St. Paul. I didn't know about small towns.
Right.
Okay. We're going to come back and play catch-up right after this important message.
Do you have an old junker car in the garage or on the farm? Call Huber's Auto Parts in Faribault, 507-332-2300. Get the most cash for your old junker vehicle and have it taken away for free. Huber's Auto Parts in Faribault, 507-332-2300.
Hi, this is Sarah Hoffman from the Syngenta Research Station in Stanton. August in Minnesota means the Cornist Hall, county fairs, and great town festivals like the Kenyon Rose Fest this weekend. Syngenta Seeds Research Station in Stanton encourages you to take in this three-day event and to give your Syngenta dealer a call to inquire about a demo plot tour and see our products in action. Here at Syngenta, we've been hard at work in the labs and fields bringing plant potential to life. We at Syngenta live and work in the communities surrounding Stanton and are proud supporters of our community events and hope you can take in the Kenyon Rose Fest this weekend.
Do you believe in love? Oh, this is Cher.
Yes, it is.
Yep, Believe.
Yeah. I think this was the first popular song that used that electronic effect on the voice. I was fascinated by it. I thought, wow, that is so cool.
I've been to a Cher concert, I gotta admit.
You did?
Yep.
Wow, she's old enough to be your grandma.
Yep. My wife and my wife's mom are big Cher fans, so they got tickets to go. It was fun.
Yeah. I got you, babe.
Yeah.
So what's your dad and mom up to now? A lot of people listening maybe had Tom as a coach or a teacher or whatever.
Yeah, so he retired in January of this past year, so he's just loving life being a grandpa. He will be substituting teaching into the school districts. He loves kids, loves to be around them. More in the elementary age is probably what he's going to do. Odd jobs here and there. My mom also retired. She was in the dental field for many, many years, and she just retired too. So they're just new to this whole retirement thing and how to stay active. But with the two houses that they have, trying to keep those maintained. With the lake place too, they're up there quite a bit and back and forth. And my dad is very rarely missing any of his grandkids' activities. So you'll see him at a baseball field or a basketball court this winter. Just being a grandpa.
Is he a fisherman?
His family, obviously in Grand Rapids, were big fishermen. He took more of the sports routes rather than the fishing route. So he will fish with my son, JT, who's 10, as much as JT wants to fish. But yeah, his passion is more sports and baseball and stuff like that.
And you're on vacation now or medical leave because of your gallbladder?
No, I'm back at work. Full time. Oh yeah,
you're the man.
Gotta,
I'll tell you what.
Got to keep it going, Wayne, for sure.
For those of you who missed the open of our program here this morning with Tris, he is the father of the current ambassador, junior ambassador, Maya. sorry. And he had a gallbladder surgery a couple of days before he had a dance in the opening act of the coronation last Friday night. So I admired you for pulling through and getting that done. And I saw you at various functions this year, and you could see the pride in your eyes. Do the JT or Charlie get a little jealous at the attention that Maya got?
Maybe a little bit. We went to 20 parades this past year, right? So
yeah.
Dragging those two along. The five-year-old will kind of go with the flow, but yeah, the 10-year-old would rather not go to these parades. But we have a new appreciation of all these parades, right, of what these communities put on. You just kind of tell the kids, say, hey, let's get a candy bag and rack up your parade candy for the year. But yeah, we have so much appreciation for, you know, all the communities putting this stuff on. And of course, the defeat of Jesse James Days is a huge event for our community, and we take all that in.
Well, I have to tell you that Lonsdale Parade was last Saturday, and it seems since my wife got a float put together, each group after that won at least one parade in the old convertible.
That was it.
And I ride with the Rice County Sheriff's Department.
Saw
posse,
you scooting around there, yeah.
And I saw all those blue shirts down there, and I'm going, I think that could be the people from Northfield, because I had seen them at other parades. And by gosh, when I got there, I couldn't believe the yelling and screaming that you guys did. And I thought, well, if they did that for me, what are they going to do when the kids come by?
Yeah.
And I heard you went nuts for them, too.
Huge family thing that we all